Sermon this morning, it's really a communion meditation, a devotion, if you will. That's the kind of format of this sermon. Let Love Shape You is the title. And I'll have to begin by saying, I don't know about you, but this week, everything seemed to shout in our world to me. The world feels really, really loud to me just now. There are a lot of people who are hurt and frustrated. There are people who are angry and perplexed, not only about issues in the world, but also in our nation and on college campuses. And as we face all of that in a world that seems really loud, we also need to affirm in our faith today this truth, that God not only feels our joy and our praise, but God also feels our frustrations and our pains. And His Son, Jesus Christ, is whom we pray through in such times. He is our intercessor. Our faith assures us that there is a way through things together as a people, as a country, as individuals, and as a world. Our faith assures us there is a way through. There is a way through when there seems to be no way, as the contemporary song goes. And while it's easy to let our hearts become hardened, it's easy to become bitter by all the news that we hear, I hope today you will be able to affirm as the message does and allow God's love to shape you. I'm using the lectionary reading for today from the Gospel of John as we have been doing throughout the Easter cycle. And today it's John 15, verses 12 to 17. Jesus is teaching. And these are His words, verse 12 in chapter 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Let us pray. O Lord, now having heard your word read, these ancient words, but words as relevant today as when you spoke them, O Lord, speak to each person here about love in their life. Speak to them at their point of need, in whatever issue that they may be facing as individuals and as issues we may be facing as a nation and a world. Speak to us, O Lord, for your servants are listening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I chose the subject for today not only because the world seems loud just now to me, and I'm sure it does to many others, but because the subject of God's love is at the very heart, the very center of our faith. Our scripture reading from John's Gospel, it communicates this to us. Jesus commands us here in this passage to love one another how as He loves. He first loved us. Many years ago, I was serving a church, many years ago now, in Jacksonville, Alabama. It sits right next to the college there, Jacksonville State University. Go Gamecocks. But I remember one Sunday after the children's time, the children were returning to their seats as they did in that particular church. And as they did so, the organist began to strike up the tune, Jesus Loves Me. True story, one of our members told me later that a young woman who was a new visitor to the church, as soon as that tune, Jesus Loves Me, began to play, she began to cry. The young woman burst into tears during that moment of worship. And not knowing what had happened, this church member told me, she said, all I did was reach over and just pat her on the arm and said, are you okay? And she said, oh, yes, I'm okay. She said, I'm all right. I haven't been to church in years and years, And they, when they began to sing that song, and I heard that tune, I felt closer to God than I ever had. God's love, you see, is personal in that way. We can experience that in a moment's notice. We can experience that in other ways over the course of a lifetime. And this is the message for today. It is at the heart of our faith that God is love. God is love, and God commands us through Jesus Christ to love one another. Now, most of you have known that song, Jesus Loves Me, since you were children. We'll hear it today as the closing voluntary at the 11 o'clock service. I thought about it late into the week and didn't get a chance to tell Taryn about it, but I'm sure she'll work it in the future. In preparing for the sermon, however, this week, that tune began to play in my head toward the end of the week because of this particular reading about love. I was thinking about songs of love, and Jesus Loves Me came to mind. It's a song that influenced many children. It influenced me growing up. It's influenced people around the world. It's almost always, by the way, the first song that is taught to children by missionaries around the world and taught to new Christians. Many people, however, don't know the brief story behind it, and I want to tell that story as an introduction to the sermon this morning. It was written by Anna Warner in collaboration with her sister, Susan Warner. They found inspiration coming from a poem that a man had written to a dying child. That's where these words were inspired. That's how. And Anna and Susan Warner were so inspired by them that they wrote these words from Jesus Loves Me for this song. The Warners, Susan and Anna, they lived near West Point, where our military academy is located. For a number of years, they even taught Sunday school there. This was way back when they would do that kind of thing. They even willed their home to the academy. And it has become now their home there, a national shrine. And upon their death, they were awarded full military honors, and they are buried there on the grounds of West Point. Dan and Pam Jeffrey's son in our church, as you know, Isaac goes to West Point just now, and their other son, Eli, who's here today, he goes to one of the greatest colleges this state has ever had, Florida State University, right? That's right, amen, he said. Go Gators. Go Gators, I knew I'd heard that. Now, we're going to have a debate about this, and I'm going to come back to this particular moment later in the message, you'll see. Our son Will went to FSU, so go Seminoles. But the words to the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So, they contain, that song does, the very heart of our faith. Yes, Jesus loves me. And because Jesus loves me, we are called in this particular passage to love others. And so I want to suggest this morning some ways to give shape to the love that you express in your life. And we do so because of the command in this particular reading. It is the love of Christ that the world needs, the love of God that the world needs just now. In fact, if you remember the word shape, spelled S-H-A-P-E, then Monday morning you will remember this sermon. You'll go letter by letter, and I believe you can recall it, and you'll tell me that later in the week, maybe next Sunday on Mother's Day. Shape. Now, I want to say to you, this is not a gimmick. For those who are students, this is a memory device. And how well I remember before an exam trying to make up a word from my notes so I could go, what does that letter stand for in that one? And I would remember my notes from making these kind of these games. Shape, S-H-A-P-E. The first letter in the word shape stands for seeing, S. Love sees. Love sees. It sees the good in others when you are filled with God's love. Some folks, you know, say love is blind. Well, that's not true. Love recognizes, it sees in another person the good that is there. And that love may be invisible unless you look really hard. Loving someone, especially those who are different from us, those who have different ideas, different opinions, if you really see them and see the hidden qualities that are within them that are worthy and valuable, then you can express the love of God to them. Jesus saw something like this in each one of his disciples, each one of his followers. He saw something incredible and something awesome that he knew would emerge from within them. He envisioned, you see, he saw what they might become. And so seeing is very much a part of what it means to love others. See the love within them. I can well imagine what a day it must have been when Jesus went to the home of Zacchaeus. And you remember Zacchaeus in his town, he was despised and he was hated by others. But Jesus came to his home and he experienced the love of God. Jesus saw Zacchaeus in that tree and Zacchaeus climbed it to see him. And when he did so, he saw the love of God. May our prayer be today, allow me to see others, O Lord, beyond my own faults, beyond my own weaknesses, beyond my personal bias. Let me see them and love them. Secondly, if we want love to shape our lives, the letter H in the word shape reminds us to hear. Hear the other person. Take time to radically hear them. Just one person at a time. It's the highest compliment you can give someone, to stop and to hear what they are saying. Everyone, it seems, in our world at this time and day wants to share their opinion. And it often seems they are not willing to consider the opinion of others. Stop and hear them. Listen to them intently. When you do, it affirms them. It doesn't say you agree with them. It says you affirm them. There are times in our relationships with others that we feel so strongly about something that sometimes we feel we have all the truth about something, when in fact we have only a part of it. Concentrate on hearing, in that word shape, hearing what others say. And once that has happened, for goodness sake, move on. If you don't agree with issues, move on. Yes, the Seminoles, they're one great college, but there are other great colleges too, and Florida is one of them. And I could go on and on about other great colleges in this state. Now let's get on with it. I had a neighbor in St. Petersburg years ago, Beanie and John Hudson. They were great neighbors, a wonderful older couple. They had two daughters, in fact. And Beanie came over crying one evening to our home. She said, "My daughter and I, all we do is argue about abortion." She said, "We can't get over it." She said, "We are on two sides of the spectrum, and at almost every meal, one of us will get up and leave the room." And I said, "Beanie, promise me this, from this day forward, take that topic off of your agenda. Take it out of your house and out of your kitchen and tell your daughter, I love you, and when you come here, I'm going to express all the love that I have for you. But this topic is not one thing we'll discuss ever again. We're going to focus on loving one another." Let the love of God, you see, shape you by hearing others. Third, if you want love to take shape in your life, the letter A reminds us to always seek to affirm others. Affirm. Tell others about the good qualities you see in them. Be sincere about that when it's appropriate. Affirm them. Nothing is more encouraging than to sincerely praise another person's gifts. And I have yet to meet anyone who became angry when someone gave them a sincere compliment. That's a gift. So many in our time major in criticisms. But to work at love, you see, to invite God's love to shape you, is to seek to build others up and affirm them every day. Affirm them. Fourth, let God's love shape you by remembering the letter P. And the letter P, I want to suggest to you, can mean practice an act of love every day. It costs you very little to do that. Practice a loving act. Don't just talk about doing something, but do it, like the old Nike commercial used to say. Just do it. If you want to see the other or read the other, there's another lectionary reading, 1 John 3:18, it says it this way, 1 John 3:18, it says, "Let us love not in words or speech, not in words or speech, but in truth and action." In other words, just do it. 1 John came up with that motto, "Just do it," a long time before Nike did. Have you ever thought about the book that follows the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What comes next? Acts. Ah, it's not the book of dreams. It's not the book of ideas. It's the book of Acts. Acts. Practice a loving act in your life. And so if you've been listening, this is a very straightforward message today. S-H-A-P. Oh, there's one more letter. Letter E. And that one's easy. God's love is eternal. It's eternal. Everything else in life passes away, or rusts, or decays, or is lost. But love, which is given to us through God, is eternal. That love never ends. It never ends. It is never lost. Never. And so we can love because God sees the best in us, and we should do so in others. S. We can love because God hears us when we call Him. He hears us. God affirms us as God's own. Whoever we are, wherever we are in this world, God affirms us. This world that is so loud just now. And God practiced the most loving act of all. He gave His only Son. He gave personally. He gave of Himself. He practiced that love. And God's love, again, is eternal. It endures. It lasts. And finally, as we come to the Lord's table, I encourage you in this time of preparation as we come to partake in this holy meal, let God's love today take shape in your life. Let us pray. Oh Lord, as we come to this table now and hear the words of institution, to break the bread and to drink from the cup, remind us of your great love. Remind us that you said, O Lord, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." O God, you are holy. You are a God of majesty. Blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He is your eternal love to us. You sent him in the fullness of time to be for us the way, the truth, and the life. And in him you revealed your love. O Lord, Jesus taught all those who would hear him. He healed all those who believed in him. And he received all who sought him. We thank you that he has lifted the burden of our sin, and we glorify you with great power for the love at work in Christ. O Lord, use us, we pray, as your gifts to the world. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread today and this wine and the gifts that you have given us, and we celebrate with joy. O Lord, be with us. In Christ's name, amen.